Hi, you're listening to a message from Ford Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
They all spoke, let's say, English. They all were able to understand one another. They had one language. And then that people group came together with one language, and they advanced in terms of technology. They weren't using stone. They learned how to make brick and mortar so that they could build things that would be bigger than what's ever been built before. So they're together, they're advancing, and then they come up with a plan, and they say, you know what, let's build a tower that's so big that it reaches to the heavens. And you kind of think, oh yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. But then the Lord comes down, and then he realizes something, that man, because they had one language and they were so advanced, were intent on building something for themselves. That they intended on building something for them. It sounded grand, but what it was is that they were trying to build monuments and basically, become famous. And so what happens is the Lord comes down and he sees how effective they are. He sees how advanced they are. He's like, wow, these guys have really, they've really progressed. And then he says, and then he identifies the reason that they've so advanced and the reason that they can progress so quickly, the reason that they can do things that have never been done before, the reason they can dream up ideas. He said, the Lord understands that the reason that they were able to do all of this was because they had one language. And then the Lord says, listen, if as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they do will be impossible for them. After the story, he scrambles their language. That's why it's called, Babel. So then what happens, then all these different people who had different languages then moved out of the city and they settled in different parts of the world in their own unique language. But he makes a statement. He says, if these people who had the same language could do something for them, advance for them, like progress for them, then imagine what one people with one language could do for the kingdom of God. If there's one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they do will be impossible for them. The title of my message this morning is The Language of Excellence. The Language of Excellence. I want you to know something about Forward Church. We are building an excellent church. We are building a 5-star church, not a 1-star, not a 2-star, not a 3-star, not a 4.5-star, but a 5-star church. Someone say 5-star. We are building a 5-star church because in heaven, heaven is excellent. Heaven is 5-star. In heaven, when you read the scriptures, the ground is not made out of concrete or tar seal or polished floors. The ground is made out of gold. Everything in heaven is excellent. There is nothing out of order in heaven. And heaven is the perfect environment. It is filled with the praises of God. And the Bible says, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are building an excellent church to represent an excellent God. And so then the question begs, do you speak the language of excellence? Excellence is not, and by the way, let me just break this down a little bit. The language of excellence absolutely is what you say. But also the language of excellence is what you wear. Do you dress better for your corporate job than you do for the house of the Lord? Do you bring to God your leftovers, or do you bring to God your excellence? Do you bring to God your best? The language of excellence. And we must understand that when God created the world, God looked at nothing and he spoke, the language was, let there be light. And the entire earth was formed out of his language. God created the world with his language. And in the same way, you create your world with your language. The words that come out of your mouth create your world. That's why you can don't give in to negative talk. That's why you can just don't be around negative people and don't allow negative speak to come out of your mouth. In fact, sometimes you might have negativity in your mind, or you might be upset about something, but don't let it come out of your mouth. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Surrender it to the Lord. Why? Because you have an enemy that is a prowling lion. And the enemy cannot read your mind. But he can hear your words. He can hear your words. And then what happens is when he hears your words, then he jumps on the vulnerability. That's why you need to be a person who speaks faith. The language of excellence. Your words create your world. Your words create your future. Cultures are defined by language. Amen? In our house, one of the things that, you know, like I remember a few years ago, and one of my children, you know, they're having a little fight, and then one of my children says, "Oh, Daddy, it's not fair." And I said, "Hold on. In our family, we don't use that language, it's not fair." Why? Because I'm not raising entitled children. I'm raising children who are taking responsibility. I'm raising children who have accountability. And they're not going to live like victims and go, "Oh, no, you know, the whole world's against me." No, 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 no. And, you know, the world does not owe you anything. We owe God everything. Amen? So you know, we don't use language like that. It's not fair in our household. No, 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 we don't use those kinds of words. Why? Our language defines our culture. And in the same way that our language in the Tiati household creates a culture, the language we speak in our church creates a culture. You will never hear any negativity from this pulpit. You know, like, you know, one of the things that Aussies and Kiwis like to do is, like, we like to mock each other. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm okay with fun. I'm good with fun. Absolutely. Let's have a laugh. Absolutely. But when we use the platform to do anything but build people up, then we're creating a culture where there's like people are afraid and like, "Oh no," you know, or we're lifting ourselves up at the expense of putting other people down. So you'll never hear that from our pulpit. What's that? That's a culture. Yeah. We want to be builders of people. We want to lift them up. We want them to be overcomers. We want them, when they come into the house of the Lord down, they leave up. They come into the house of the Lord discouraged, they leave encouraged. They come having had, you know, feeling burdened and having had a big week. We want them to leave feeling free and filled with, you know, the purpose of God and reminded of the promises of God again. Our language creates our culture. So there are three things specifically for this room as we launch into 2020. Number one, the language of ownership. It's not your church. It's my church. Hey, it's not Pastor Dan and Tini's church. It's my church. Hey, we have interns. They're not youth interns. They're not my interns. They're four church interns. Amen? So it's like, it's ownership. It's mine. There's a big difference between being an owner and a renter. So you can rent the vision or you can own the vision. There's a big difference between the two. See, when you rent a home, and let's say the tap starts leaking, what do? You call somebody else, the landlord, to come and fix it. Here's the problem, you fix it. But when you're an owner and the tap's leaking, you pull yourself out a wrench and you start, except if you were me, I'd call James or someone like that. But I get involved and I fix it. Renters delegate to other people to fix. Owners fix it themselves. So on a Sunday, I mean, this has happened lots of times. On a Sunday, I'd go to the bathroom, say, before, one time, I went to the bathroom before I'm about to preach. When I get to the bathroom, somebody has left a nice deposit there before I'm going on to preach. So I'm looking at this crap, literal, and I'm about to go and preach the word of the Lord. What do I do? Do I leave it there for the next person to come and clean it up? I've got to go and preach. No. I've grabbed the brush out, I clean the thing myself, flush the thing, make sure that it's clean and that it's ready for the next person. Why? Because I own it. I'm not delegating, asking someone else to fix it. I own it. It's mine. When I worked at McDonald's and we had a few, you could always tell the difference in staff, because there were people who were counting down the minutes before their shift ended. You know, I'm off at 2 o'clock. You know, and like, you know, 1:45, 15 minutes to go. 1:47, I've 13 minutes to go. 1:49, I've got 11 minutes to go. And they're just watching the clock. They just can't wait to get out of there. And then bang on 2 o'clock, they clock out, they're gone. They're 2:05, they left the building. And they left the mess. But then there's another group of people who aren't watching the clock. They're watching their job. They're watching what's in front of them. They're watching what they're doing. And then, and yes, we want to be effective. Yes, we want to make sure we get out on time. But we own this thing. We take pride in what we do. I want you to know that this internship program, it's never ever going to be about watching the clock to see what time I go home. It's always going to be about doing what God's put in front of me to do and doing it with all my might as unto the Lord. Hey, we are not slaves to the house. We are sons and daughters of the house. This is our house. This is our church. These are our people. This is where God's called us to be. Touch someone next to you and say, it's our house. It's our house. So the language of ownership. I own this. I own this. Which means that, you know, that if I'm supposed to be somewhere, I'll be there because I own this. I won't just do the minimums. I'll go above and beyond. Why? Because I own this. The language of ownership. It's ours. So you know, the language of ownership. Number two, the language of accountability. The language of accountability. I want you to repeat this. I want you to repeat this phrase after me. This is going to be a phrase that will be increasingly important to you in 2020. The phrase is three simple words. I am responsible. Say it again. I am responsible. Who's responsible? I am responsible. Hey, when it comes to everything that we're doing, in fact, before we do that, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 says, each of you must take responsibility in the Message Bible for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now you have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experienced. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to become fatigued doing good. Because at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. In other words, in this internship program, in this ministry school, we don't blame others. If I didn't get something done, I don't blame them. Oh, it was their fault. Oh, I asked them to do it and they didn't do it. No. I'm responsible. And just own up to it. Take responsibility for it. I remember one time I was talking to one of my children and I said to them, who did this? It wasn't me. Who did it? And they pointed at each other. Who did it? Finally, of course, after about 5 minutes of just interrogation, which you get good at as a parent. Interrogation. Finally. Oh, Daddy, I did it. I'm sorry. It wasn't my fault. I didn't mean to do it. Sorry, Daddy. Finally gets to a point of responsibility. She acknowledged it. Hey, that's okay. Just don't do it again. We're all good. Let's move on. But until you get to a point where you take responsibility, you can't grow. Keep blaming other people. No. Own it. That's right. Own it. Take responsibility for it. Move on. In fact, let's say those things together. Own it. Take responsibility. Move on. That's how we roll at Forward Church. Hey, it's not personal. And, you know, and just because you might do this, you know, and needs to be adjusted, that's fine. It's all part of life. It's a part of the Christian journey. For some people, especially those who are new to faith, some people have never been pruned in their lives. Yeah. And so when they come into an environment of accountability, yeah, they view that pruning or adjustment as control. Yeah. You're so controlling. Yeah. The Bible says that whoever he loves, he prunes. Yeah. Jesus said, whoever he loves, he disciplines. Yeah. Hear it. Whoever he loves, he disciplines. Yeah. Now, if you love your children, you will discipline them. Right. You will not allow them to have ice cream three meals a day, although they want to. Yeah. You will discipline them. And in the same way, the Lord, those who loves, the Lord disciplines. Yeah. The Bible says in John chapter 15, he says that whatever is fruitful, he will prune so that it's even more fruitful. Yeah. So here's the thing. The Christian journey is all about embracing the pruning. Touch someone next to you and say, embrace the pruning. Yeah. Yeah. Pruning is essential for your future. If you don't prune, you'll never live your potential. You got to prune. It's just part of life. You know, I'm constantly, I want to be pruned. I mean, you probably heard, Pastor Russell Evans, when, you know, he spoke, a couple of years ago, he said, you know, one of the things about Dan, he said, Dan's always asking me questions. You know, how was the service? How could I do this? How could I do that? And then he got to a point where he said, and I just run out of things to say. So that's why I had to bring Jason Lozano in, so Jason Lozano can answer his questions. Why do I do that? Because I've discovered something that has guided my life. It is far easier to self-prune than it is to have other people prune you. Far easier. Self-prune. So at the end of it, go, hey, look, how can I grow? And by the way, that is the highest form of humility. Have you ever been with someone and you know that, you know, let's say they, you know, they got anger issues or they talk too much, whatever it is. And have you ever realized that people like that don't know that they have that issue, but everyone around them does? And no one has the guts to say something. Well, I want you to know that in the economy of the kingdom of God and what we get to do, not only is it essential to say something, it's the highest form of love. So for me, I could write a book. If I got a dollar for every time someone said this to me, I'd be a millionaire. The number of times people have said to me, as we're sitting in conversations, no one's ever told me that. I never knew that. I've been married for 20 years. No one's ever told me that. Am I trying to get in people's business? No, I got enough stuff to deal with myself. But do I love people enough to help identify the things so that they can be better? You know why? Because if I had that issue, I'd want people to tell me. Because I want to be better. We none of us have arrived. We are constant students and we're constantly learning. So accountability. So I'm accountable. So even when it comes to things like, you know, the chairs look amazing. But there's a reason why we put out the chairs and we make sure that they're straight. If one or two are crooked, it's not good enough to go, she'll be right. No, because that's not excellence. We make sure those chairs are straight in the name of the Lord. Excellence, by the way, is not perfection. Excellence is doing the very best with what you already have. So with what you have, you're doing the best with it. It's be accountable. Don't have a minimum mentality. If we have A4 letters to send out, let's send them out in A4 envelopes. If we have, you know, whatever we say we're going to do, let's make sure that we do it and be accountable. The third one is the language of encouragement. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another daily. Everyone say daily. Daily. Okay, a couple of you got that. Say daily.
Daily.
As long as it's called today. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, the deceitfulness of sin hardens hearts. You can always tell a person who's walking through some, you know, struggling with the issues because their hearts are hardened. The Bible says that the antidote to a hardened heart is encouragement. And then, just in case we didn't know, like how often or the frequency, he makes that really clear too. He says, but encourage one another daily. And just in case you've missed it, he goes further and says, as long as it's called today. Don't you love how the Bible is just real simple with stuff like that? The reason that he repeats it, why would the Lord repeat anything? Because he can create the world with one word. Why does he repeat anything? He repeats it because he's trying to emphasize to you and I, because encouragement is not a part of our natural vernacular. Encouragement, I don't know anybody who was raised like with encouragement. I mean, the most encouraging person actually that I know is my mother. She's just a constant encourager, encouraging, you know. And she's an encourager. So for all of us, we must embody a language of encouragement. Hey, let's not look to see what people are doing wrong, but let's look to see what they're doing right. And if you encourage, hey, that was amazing. Hey, the way you brought that pulpit out, that was fantastic. It doesn't matter how small it is. Let's pick out those things and let's encourage them in the name of Jesus. Wow, the way you dressed today, that was amazing. Hey, the way you spoke, that was amazing. Hey, listen, the way you, you know, the way you came in, even though, you know, you had a broken arm, but you could, you know, you still got two good legs. That was amazing. You know what I mean? But we must embody a language of encouragement. 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 Who needs encouragement in your world today? Who needs encouragement in your world? I don't feel like encouraging you. I need encouragement myself. I've learned this. I've been in that position many times. I've learned this. If you sow encouragement, you reap it.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.